Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord. We can see the glory of God upon every face. Angels ascending and descending. Are they not ministering spirits? Send forth to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. Lord, we thank you for so much loving us. We have the guardian angels. We have even the angel of the Lord himself encamped around us and delivered us. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for the time of worship. Now, I start to read your word this morning, Father. Understand through faith that the words were framed by the word of God. Nothing was made. We were made by the word. Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word was made flesh. And he dwelt among God. And we know we were not saved by corruptible things like silver and gold. We were saved by the incorruptible word of God. Show us our delight to read it, Lord, in the name of the Lord. And you are the author of this word. Only you can really explain it, Lord. We yield ourselves to you, Lord Jesus. Help whatever we read that is going to mix together with faith that it may profit all. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, and then, just this morning by the grace of God, the Bible talks about things. The book of Revelation, it says, things which must shortly come to pass. That's in Revelation 1:1. 96 AD, at the Isle of Patmos, the Lord appeared to Apostle John. He said, like this thing which are shortly come to, no, must shortly come to pass. Not that they will, or maybe, must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1:1. What are these things? Now, the rapture of the church. I know in prophetic order now. The rapture of the church, which you speak so much about here all the time. There will come the great tribulation of time. You know, the Lord says, a time of tribulation such as has never been since the world began. And when it is over with, there shall be no time like that again. You see? Now, part of the great tribulation will be the darkening of the sun and the moon. Prophetic order of things to come. Shortly, where some will say, shortly, but that 2,000 years ago, where God doesn't count time like you and I count time, amen? He doesn't count time by 24-hour clock. Praise God. Amen. 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. And one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, past the darkening of the sun and the moon, we come the great and terrible day of the Lord. Past that, we have the seven trumpet judgments. The angels know and judgment upon the heart and soul. Celestial and celestial judgments. Then we call even greater and severer judgment called the seven vial judgment. These are all the things supposed to come to pass, you know. I put a rapture for us in the first one to come, right? Especially that one right now, you know. Then in great and rapid succession, that is going to be like a flood of events. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I call like that to tell you that, you know. No time no longer really, you know. I can't put this concern. So the seven vial judgment, then called the battle of Armageddon, you know. So, and next to that, Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, during, you know, something that you know. Then that's during the millennium of time. Then Satan will be loosed out of his prison house after the millennium. Then will come the great white throne judgment. All the dead and so forth that, you know, who have been sleeping there and so on will be judged and so on that you know. Now this morning the subject is this. I make all things new. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. I make all things new, the Lord said. Revelation 21:5. That's what I want to talk about this morning by God's grace. 21:5 of Revelation. And he sat upon the throne. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, of all these things that he make new, talk about three of them this morning that the Bible talks about. And we have listed a couple of events, right? Then these are going to come after all that I've listed now. So when we make a new heart, there will be a new heart. Bible says so. See, I make all things new, right? So there will be a new heart. Well, originally, God gave man a commission that stated like this in Genesis 1:26. What is the commission to man? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. The Bible says that's what the commission he gave man in the beginning, and over every creeping sin that creepeth upon the earth. But we know what took place after all. Satan has also dispossessed man of this habitation that God gave him, to deprive man of his this mastery over all the earth, not only that, and to disappoint the earth itself. That's where we are at, you know, and some of that, you know. But God, Bible says, when God has finished all the creation, he rested. What happened again? God's rest after the recreation of the earth was broken by man's sin. God had to go to work again. You know, what work now? The work of redemption of the fallen man. Praise the Lord. One scripture. We are told in, I believe it's in John 5:17. The Lord told them Jews there. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh. He that is still working because why? Of the sin of man, the work of redemption, and so on, that not to finish that song, you know. And I work too, you know. So now, not only that God is redeeming man, what about the earth? So, you know, so if the redemption of man is to completely nullify the effect of Satan's or our enemy's subversion of this earth, then man must be restored to a new earth. So I make all things new, right? Even the earth is made new, according to the scripture. So, so for man to be fully restored, the earth itself will be restored, you know, to a new earth. So does God, in his generosity, is providing a new earth, a new home, which shall endure for all eternity. Praise the Lord. Doing that right now. Revelation 21:1 says so. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So now, for centuries past now, many, many centuries ago and so on to this time, men have taken this promise to mean that the earth will disappear, will just disappear. You know, that's what they were thinking. And there are some today who are still thinking that the earth will just disappear, you know. Our solar system will just collapse, and the entire physical universe will vanish into nothingness. There are some who are still thinking that way today, not understanding the scriptures really, you know. But the Bible gives us a different understanding of what that scripture means. You know, the heart will not become nothingness, as people are thinking and something like that, you know. So, the King James Version confused many people because they call it the end of the world, right? But in the original, that end of the world, let me give you two scriptures that say, yeah, it's the end of the world, the book of King James Version and so on. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world. So use the word end of the world, right? Another scripture in Matthew 28, verse 20. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It turns out that in the original, that end of the world is translated for the word Aion. A-I-O-N. Aion. It means age. See? So if you put the word age where it's the end of the world, then those which are little, you will read like this. Lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the age. That's how I put your read, you know? In the original, A-I-O, that's what it means, end of the world and so on. I'm trying to bring the notion, the Bible notion, that this earth will not be, it will not be annihilated, as people think. It's because they read the Bible, the King James Version, rendering of the end of the world. They don't know what it really means. It means the end of the age. Now, let's keep on going. So, like I said, annihilation of the earth is certainly not what the Bible said in all those scriptures whatsoever. Not that the world will be annihilated. No, not really, you know. So, of course, the age will change. There will be the end of this age. And it's closing on us real fast right now. The age will end and bring it to a new age. Not the new age as now, you see. So, but the age will end, but not the world. Well, some will argue that, but the other scripture says that the heaven and the earth shall be dissolved and pass away. Like in 2 Peter 3:10. Let me read that to you. But The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all conversation, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fire heat. These are another scripture. People think that the heart will just become nothing, right? But not really so, you know. Yes. The very next verse tells us something. You know, what did he tell us in verse 13? You know, to show you that this heart will not actually just become nothing, you know, as people are thinking. 13 verse says, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new heart wherein dwelleth righteousness. So in the earlier verse I read before, you know, here in this same book of Peter, it says the word that then was perished, right? He said also, let me read 2 Peter 3, 5. I'm putting some things together in scripture to see why people are thinking that this word will just become nothing, right? In 2 Peter 3, 5, hear what he says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the heart standing out of the water and in the water. Look at verse 6. Whereby the word that then was being overflowed with water perished. Now, here I want to bring to you. You say that scripture, no, it means the antediluvian age. It also applies to the pre-Adamic age, when what was there before God wiped that out and so on. He said perish, right? Did the heart perish? Didn't go away. You see what I'm saying? You see? So, this heart is not going to go away as people are thinking. Because Peter says, but the Holy Ghost perish, right? In the day of the flood, right? But the heart is here. So, it's not going to be annihilated as people are thinking. That's what the Bible is saying. You know? Yes. So, anyway, so let's go for it. So, the thing is this. So the inference is that just as man must be born again, you see, man fell and so on, you know, he has to be born again. So the heart must have a baptism of fire of his own. Why? It was corrupted, right? Mm-hmm. So the baptism of fire for the heart itself. The heart must be born again, you see? Just like man must be born again, the heart itself will be born again. You know that what the Bible is saying here? So, you know, the heart will be renewed. The heart will be regenerated and born again for the ages of ages to come. That's the Bible interpretation of all those things and so on. Aion. It means age, not just the end of the world. So, like I said, even that one, it says it's perished. The heart is still here. So we see right now. So, we are no doubt living in the time of the end. You know, even the 80s and so on, that, you know, they know something going to happen to this earth and so on, you know. But even at the end of the age, you know, and one of the many signs that we are living at the end of the age is the prophecy of Daniel, that knowledge shall be increased, right? Daniel 12:4. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. See, when will knowledge be increased? At the end of time, how the Bible is saying right there, you know. So, a verse of the scripture we read before in 2 Peter 3 is of special interest to us who are living in this age of advanced knowledge that the Bible prophesied about. So, what was that? That verse was in 2 Peter 3, 12. It has a special meaning to us today in the advancement of knowledge the Bible has prophesied. Let me read to you again 2 Peter 3, 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So, today, in our generation, we are able to understand that scripture more than the generation that are before us, you know. Brought it out by the Holy Ghost, talking about the elements in the Bible, of course, yes. Now, all of us sitting here, maybe some of us, in elementary science, particularly in elementary chemistry, The first thing we were taught are the elements. Is that right? And they are symbols. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost now. I already told Brother Peter and so on in the beginning. So the same word elements shall make with fervent heat, right? So the Bible is ahead of science. Praise God. I believe the inventor of that scientific thing that come up with the elements. If you have read the Bible too, I don't know. But God spoke about the elements first. Praise the Lord Jesus. Before any other thing and so on. Every true science, we agree with the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's what their elements will have a special interest to us, you know, in this last days, you know. So so God revealed that to him. So we know because why? Brother Peter knew this by revelation. That's why he knew it and called it elements. And we are told in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? God knew all things. So so that's why today's science, I don't say that name, they call them elements. You have gold, AA, you know, with AA, a symbol of AU. You have silver, AG. You have all of them like that and something like that, you know. Oxygen, or all kind of things like that, you know. Called elements for a purpose. And Holy Ghost already said it before science ever come up with a word called elements, you know. So, about a century or so ago, you know, scientists think that the element itself is the ultimate part of matter, that matter cannot be, that's the ultimate, that you cannot really break down matter down rather than the element talk about. But later on they found that the atom itself is a part of the element, you know, atoms and so on. And later on, you see, and they were thinking when they found the atom, they think it is the ultimate part of matter, right? But 1945 told us a different story. What happened in 1945? We all know Second World War, and so on, you know, the Second World War, the detonation of the atomic bomb over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? Thousands perished, right? What happened? The atom was splitted, right? And we all know, what is the structure of the atom? What is the structure? So the atom is made up of what? Of, it has a nucleus, right? They said, in the nucleus, you have the protons and the neutrons. The protons are positively charged. The neutrons have no charge. Then, imagine like a circle and so on. In the core, the circle is the nucleus of the atom, right? And in that nucleus, you have the protons and the neutrons. The protons are positively charged, you know. Neutrons, they have no charge. Then, outside that nucleus, you have what is called a shell, where the electrons, you know, just move around that nucleus and so on. The electrons are negatively charged. These infinitesimal particles of atoms are held together by powerful cosmic forces that God put in there, you know. So when they split that on, then what happened? Matter is turned into energy. Can you imagine the cosmic forces that hold those infinitesimal things together when they split it and so on by a process which is described in this equation, E is equal to mc squared, where E is energy, m is equal to the mass of matter, c is the speed of light. So that's called Einstein's equation and so on. That when they split it, now, so mass become converted into what? Into energy. Not all the mass is converted, only 0.1% 0.1% of matter is actually converted in from mass to energy, you know. So Einstein says that, you know, so we see. So now God talking about elements right before there was any science, you know. And so you see, so we see that there. So and so 1945 taught us a lesson, taught the world a lesson. They used to wonder. Bible said that except the Lord shorten the time, there shall no flesh be saved. Matthew 24 and so on. What will happen to the world? 1945 came about, the atomic detonation over Japan and so on. Thousands perish in nanoseconds, right? Now today they have the hydrogen bomb, right? That now they now have enough atomic thing to destroy this world all over. You see, that's why the Lord said, expect the Lord shorten the time. Why? The Antichrist and so on. Satan himself, knowing that they cannot have this earth, he will never have it and so on. I may call the God, the God of this world right now. They won't have it. And the wicked men, all the, you know, who want to take over the earth as their own, you know. So, well, we can't have it. I mean, let's destroy it. We all just perish. You could have done that But the heart is the Lord. Anyway, praise the Lord. And God won't let them do it, so the heart will not be annihilated, you know. So no matter what man thinks, praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So now, let's move on here. So now talking about order, so the heart itself, we have a baptism of fire. You know what I've discussed with you, a baptism of fire. We are not presuming here how God will do it exactly, but you can use that too, you know. When they split the heart on, great and so on, this heart is baptized with fire and so on, renovated. For us to say this, that in the place of the old heart, which has been despoiled and defiled by Satan, and this heart, which has been depleted by man, as we know, there will come forth a new heart, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But this will not be annihilated, it will be renovated, according to the scriptures. How God will do it, he knows, but it and so on. Now, talking of the depletion of the heart resources, we are all aware today, these last days, you know, the incessant cry to control the climate change. They are all crying. I say the heart resources have been depleted. We are at the end of time. It has to be a renovation. Even that, you know, so they are all crying, you know, climate change and so on, you know. And even right now, as I'm talking, that people are demonstrating in Glasgow, you know, everywhere upon the earth, they want something to be done. Even the youth, they are concerned about the future, right? Say we have no future if things keep going like this in this world and so on, that, you know, they want people to do something about the climate change. Now, recently, as we are talking, the U.S. has approved what? A $1.2 trillion of infrastructure, right, for the U.S. and so on. Out of that $1.2 trillion, which is now waiting on the president's desk to be signed, $47 billion is being allocated by the United States to make changes to prevent further climate of the heart being declined. $47 billion. See, they are all worried about the climate and so on. They don't know what's going to happen. The heart is nearly, it has to be renovated. It's now corrupted, like destroyed by the devil and so on, and even man himself. Now, what they do in the earth and so on, they are talking about what? They are talking about, global warming, right? And I put a note here. According to that, they claim that global warming, which is what? It is a gradual increase in the overall temperature of the Earth's atmosphere. And generally, it's attributed to the greenhouse effect caused by increased levels of carbon dioxide, fluorocarbons and other pollutants. They polluted the earth, even by their way of living, by their industry and so on. This heart has to be renovated and the comfort a new heart and so on, according to the Bible and so on. So we see that one going on. Even the US, $47 billion, you know, they're now allocating it to withstand the effects of climate change as we talk right now. Anyway, talking about it, shall we make us into new, right? So the heart is going to be made new. Not be annihilated, no, made new. Many other scriptures speak of the perpetuity of the earth, meaning the continuity of the earth, rather it be annihilated. Let's get two more. Ecclesiastes 6:1-4. One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You can't annihilate it, it's not going to be annihilated. Praise the Lord. Yes, renewed, regenerated, yes sir. But to be annihilated, no, that's not the plan of God and so on, you know. Now, another scripture we can also point to, there are many of them, but to save time. So, the Bible tells us that a portion of this earth will be given to Israel for an everlasting possession. That is in Genesis chapter 48, verse 3. Here's what Jacob said, Genesis 48, 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appear unto me, appear to Jacob, right, at last, in the land of Canaan, and bless me, Jacob said. Now, what that's for? And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people. This is God's direct message to Jacob. He saw the vision of the Lord. And watched. And I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. If the heart will be annihilated, how can that prophecy be fulfilled? How can that not be an everlasting possession for Israel? So the heart will not be annihilated. It will be renewed, renovated, go to the baptism of fire if you want, how God does this, you know, and be renewed and so on, you know. So we see right there, you know. So let's move on now. I make all things new. Including the earth, we make new. What else will we make new? How about a new heaven, right? New heavens. Now, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We are read in Genesis 1:1. So what is the beginning? Well, people think the beginning is 6,000 years ago. No. That beginning is an eternity behind us, in ages of ages immeasurable. That is, immeasurable, can't measure it and something like that, you know. So, not just 6,000 years ago. People even think that God began 6,000 years ago. No. God didn't begin 1,000 years ago. The psalmist said by the Holy Ghost in Psalm 90, talking about the Lord and so, Psalm 90 verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. People not only mentioned the age of the earth by 6,000 years, which is not even correct. They even say that God began 6,000 years ago. So from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. You know, indeed, God has neither beginning of this nor end of life. Amen. That's in Hebrews 7:3. He has no beginning. He has no end of life. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is said to be the beginning and the end. Is the first and the last, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see right there. So God is as eternal. No? He is eternal God. And his creative works also, no doubt, record into the billions of years. The heart is of old, not 6,000 years old. It's of old. Bible tells us that. So anyway, talking about the heavens right now. Astronomers, Peter, you make new heavens, right? Astronomers are able to give us some idea of the vastness of the universe. This is our solar system, made up of the sun, and 9 planets. They keep on finding new ones. How we talk with the 9 planets and so on, moving around the sun. So, according to astronomers, it's about 5 billion miles in diameter. You know, if you measure from the sun to the outermost, planet, even the new one. So the diameter is about 5 billion miles. And that's a lot of miles compared to how we measure distances. Not million, billion of our solar system. How big is it and so on. For the sun to the outermost object in our solar system is called Sedna. S-E-D-N-A-R. Called Sedna. Where they don't call it a planet, but if you measure from the sun to that, it's about, how much I told you now, 5 billion miles and so on, from here. We are showing here, he says there will be new heavens, right? Let's talk about the heavens a little bit and so on. See what the Lord is talking about and so on, Even David said, when I consider the heavens, the sun and the moon, and the work of your hand, what is man that I even mindful of him? See? Praise the Lord. So all these things are scripture and so on. There will be new heavens and so on, And so the nearest star to us is 26 trillion miles away. That is when you see those stars out there, the nearest of them, according to astronomy, is 26 trillion, not million, trillion years, miles away. Now, for the light, when you see the light you see from this star, have been traveling for how many years now? For 4 years, to get to us, at the speed of what? 186,000 miles per second. When is that twinkle? The nearest of them have been traveling for 4 years to get to us at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So can you see how vast the universe is and all that, Talking, you see, new heavens, right? So, rockets traveling through space, even at a better than orbital speed, will require thousands of years to reach the nearest star. All these rockets that go to the moon, I think that go to the things that go somewhere, it will take them thousands of years to reach the nearest star. If light itself traveling at 1,000 miles per second, reach here 4 years. What is rocket? Not even the speed of sound, So we see where we are at and so on, So little chance. So now today people are saying that now that basically they are all rushing to outer space, all the billionaires and so on, they are rushing to space and so on. What is happening out there, they are even thinking of, exploring other planets, right? And they want to go and colonize other planets, They are looking for water and life on Mars and all these kind of things and so on, So now the thing is this, What chance is there that ephemeral human could ever navigate the immense distances of space? I mean, man with his limitation, what chance in the whole world? I just told you how long it takes his life. I mean, it starts to get here, 4 years, traveling at 1,000 miles per second, right? What is the hope of these people and so on, ephemeral man, as in limitation? He said, we want to go to space and things like that, you know? So anyway, here's another goal that unregenerated man can never cross. They can't even get out of our solar system. They can't even get to Mars yet, you know, they send robots there, you know? So, and what chance in the world, you know, can man, you know, that they can't cross this as well. It's yet another Tower of Babel, and I know it's going to end soon, praise God. They can't accomplish and so on, you know? But with the Redeemer of the Lord, you see, we will visit the stars in the ages to come, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. No rocket is needed. Bible says a cloud receiving out of their sight, amen?
Amen.
Enoch went, I didn't see any rocket or any kind of a thing happening. God took him, right? Elijah, the shadows of fire of the Almighty God. My father, the shadows of Israel and the horsemen thereof, amen? These are spiritual things, praise the Lord. See? So that's for the neck and so on. At the speed of thought, if you want, if you want to go to Mars or whatever, you know, we'll be there. You see? You know, after that, you know. So we will inherit all things according to the scripture. That's why we have to live with joy, amen. You see?
Amen.
This life is nothing compared to eternity. You know, praise the Lord Jesus. Now, recent astronomical discoveries have made this necessary to expand our conception of the universe. A million fold, even more than that and so on. More about the heavens, right? Even our own galaxy, called the Milky Way, is composed of billions of stars, you know? Some much larger than our sun, you know? And the distance across the Milky Way, our own galaxy, is more than 100,000 light years. What does that mean? If you are going to the infinite right now, praise the Lord. More than 100,000 light. What is a light year? A light year is the distance that light may travel in 1 year at 186,000 miles per second. Can you imagine? And then, now, so it should take thousands of that, even a Milky Way, you know? That's how it is. I'm sure they even underestimate all these things because they don't even know all things. They don't have an idea and so on. So we see the idea, you know? But the universe, so that's how big our galaxy is, the Milky Way. But the universe is populated with millions of such galaxies. Can you imagine? Even look at how big our own galaxy is and so on, you know? And look at how incredibly infinite it is. Now there are many, many other galaxies like that, you know? And, you know, in God's observable universe. I like them. They are telling of what they can see. There are eyes at the invisible world that they can't even see, you know? How great the Lord is and so on. So a new heaven is coming and so on, that, you know. So millions of such galaxies. And some of them are hundreds of millions and even billions of light years away. Where is the end thereof and so on? He even told them, if you can measure the heavens, amen, praise the Lord. If you can measure the heavens and so on, that, you know, then I will cut out the seed of Israel. Can't measure it. He told man from the beginning. Couldn't do it and so on, that, you know. Surely, God has a great purpose for such a great and amazing universe. Even for the earth here, he said he didn't create it in vain, right? It will be inhabited. So you think he created all those limitless, infinite heavens for nothing and galaxies for nothing? Not really. He has a plan for them, amen? They will be inhabited, praise the Lord. However it does, I don't know, but if the earth, you know, just as a speck of dust in the cosmic universe, God say, well, it's peculiar, this earth is peculiar, you know? All the other heavenly bodies, they pay service to this earth, amen? Praise the Lord. God is the home that God gives to man for now and so on. So we see the heavens and God, you're going to have a new heaven and so on. Even few Christians have any adequate conception of life as it will be in the ages to come. People like poets, they have depicted the age to come, as a people that, you know, that age, they think people will just be ghostly like beings, you know, flitting about in the clouds, with little to do except to play harps and so on and that. You know, that's the purpose of God. Not really, you know. He has things for us to do in the ages to come, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Ages of ages to come and so on, you know. The truth is this, that much of that which we are now familiar with, we shall find them in the new heaven and the new earth. Only that everything will be perfected. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. He perfected and so on, you know. So he has things to have assignments for us and so on. So in the new heaven and the new earth, there are the two main orders of human beings. Talking about the new heavens right now. So we're talking about the new heavens, right? There are the two classes of human beings in the new heaven that is going to come. What are the classes of what are the two classes? Number one, those who have been found worthy to dwell in the new Jerusalem, which I will quickly talk about before I kill that one, you know. These people will reign with Christ throughout the ages of eternity. That's one group of people. Second group, distinct from this other I talk about, will be the nations of the earth that will walk in the light of New Jerusalem. No, we don't have all the time this morning to talk about that and so on, but let's say this. We can only conjecture or guess God's plan for the infinite future. We can only guess and so on. We are told that God did not create the earth in vain, like I said before. It should be inhabited, right? So it seems incredible that he should create such a vast universe, repeating myself here, without any purpose in view. We are almost compelled to believe that the galaxies or space were created for habitation. Today, men talk about emigrating in space and populating the other worlds, right? All this is, of course, a wide dream, really. One more fantastic, many times fantastic over the mad dream of the builders of the Tower of Babel. It's even more absurd, you know. No, what they are talking about. So dying men. Imagine dying men attempting to populate other worlds, you know, under the redeem of the Lord. There are things that only God can do, and this is one of them, you know. He will unfold his plans for these things in due time. So yes, the Lord will visit stars, wherever I want to go, in the universes and universities of God. You know, I'm going to populate them, so it's not created in vain either. Now, let's finish, you know, I will make all things new, right? How about Jerusalem? There'll be a new Jerusalem, too. We have a new heart, a new heavens. We have a new Jerusalem. He said we do it, Revelation 22, 21, 2. And I just saw the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and their God, and I'll be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Yes, do a new thing right now. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for this word, are true. And he said, they are faithful. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. So this is unfolding things which shall shortly come to pass. Now, verse 9 says, and there come unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, see, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So now this city of God, this great city, the New Jerusalem, will be the believer's eternal home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that the new earth, that the some people here, and the New Jerusalem, where the eternal home of the bride, the light of it will even light the new earth at that time. You know. So New Jerusalem is the bride's eternal home. It should command our attention, really, you know, even our honest attention, right? The city is indeed unique in the sense that the most notable metropolitan centers of today, talk about the great cities of the world and so on, and you know, name them, whether it's Dubai or whatever and so on. I mean, they come short, can't even begin to compare, you know. They try to, they are all just imitation. Don't even come near. Even the most glorious building of any part of this world, they are nothing compared to the new Jerusalem, the three-dimensional, heavenly Jerusalem that is coming, the eternal home of the bride. See? So they are just terrible and miserable imitations of what is to come. Verse 16 says this. Revelation 21. And the city lies four square. Begin to describe it here. And the length is as large as the breadth. You all know what a square is, right? and he measured the city with the ridge, 12,000 furlongs. You know, in my primary school, we do have an exercise book. You have the multiplication table at the back of it. Then you have the measurement at the back of it. They say 8 furlongs is 1 mile, right? Maybe yours, and I praise the Lord. So a furlong is actually, 8 furlongs make a mile, right? So that is actually 15,000 miles if you measure it in miles and yards. This has given us some indication of the number of the cities of this new city. How many of them? literally hundreds of millions of the redeemed might find a place in a spacious quarter. Don't forget too, you know, people are, can you see that? What I build or whatever. No, spiritual bodies are even different than physical bodies, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Spiritual bodies are different than physical bodies as well. A spiritual body, the Lord demonstrated it to us when he was here. It can pass through a wall, right? Praise God. You know, and don't know anything about it as well. When, after the resurrection, the disciples were afraid of the people that crucified the Christ. They will lock themselves up. Behind locked door, the Lord will appear there, right? Praise God. Yes. We're going to have the same glorious body according to his body. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3:21 tell us, our vile body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, amen? Yes. Limitless, if there's no limitation, that's why you can go to anywhere in the universe. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. What are you sorrowful about? What are you sad about? Praise the Lord, amen? Oh, the word of tomorrow belongs to you and I. Amen. As we remain in Christ, all things are ours in Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. So it's what is coming for the elect of God. So you see, Christ is the king of this great celestial habitation. Amen? A city extending in three dimensions, 1500 miles each way and so on. This gives us some indication of the number of people who are going to be there and so on. You know? So anyway, the earth is even illuminated by the glory of New Jerusalem. You see? India will be a perfect civilization where holiness and righteousness will dwell. So instead of a competition that we have in this world today, all the rat race, you know, that we see upon the heart today, fighting the John and the Jim, it won't be there in New Jerusalem. Yeah? There's no competition, nothing like that and so on. Rather, there's no rivalry, which are plaguing this world. Some people today, they're not motivated until they are in competition with somebody. They're not motivated. Can you imagine what they're supposed to say? That's it. See? It won't be there in Jerusalem at all. And so, what you will see in there will be divine love. Amen? Amen. The citizens of this great heavenly community will be knit together as members of one body, each fitted for a particular task, each contributing his part and quota in the great economy of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Like your hands and your body are working together in unity as one body. Mm. So that the eyes know what to do. It's for sin, right? Mm. The ear know what to do. It didn't compete with the eye. You know, there'll be no competition in there. Praise God. Amen. Perfection is what it is and so on. Because the Lord Jesus is the King of this celestial city of God and so on, that you know. So the Lord, what is happening now? The Lord says in John 14, I go and prepare a place for you. So the divine architect and the builder of this city has been at work. John 14 says, if I go away, I will come again. And I'm preparing a place for you, right? And I will come again and receive you unto myself. In my Father's house there are many mansions, right? So we believe 2,000 years ago, he told us this and so on. That's only 2 days, right? As far as God's heart is concerned. We believe this city has almost been completed, if not already completed, in it. Praise the Lord. And by the time you come for the rapture, I mean, it's already done and so that, you know. Anyway, so we see where we are at in time and things like that, you know. So, and so for each true elect of the church, there is a place for you, there is a place for me, amen. Prepare of the Lord Jesus. And thinking of all these things, brethren, even Brother Peter said in the Holy Spirit, what manner of men ought we to be in holy conversation in this world, amen? No time to loiter around, spiritually talking, amen, in this wretched world. Praise the Lord. No time to loiter around. Let us focus on that which is yet to come, shortly to come, you see, as far as God has said. Let's keep our eye on the Lord. We should remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Philadelphia church. No time, don't let anyone see your cry, amen. We are in that age right now. Don't be distracted. Let me just go to you in Revelation 3:11. I will verse 10 all the time, when he say, because I have kept the word of my patience. But now this morning I want to talk about Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. And he meant what he said, amen. I come quickly, you know. And hold thou fast which thou hast. No matter what you have, don't envy anything or mega churches or anything like that and so on. Hold jealously what you have, amen. So hold it fast, the truth of the gospel. In fact, the Bible tells us in one place, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel.
Amen.
And we have mentioned some of them this morning. You know, the hope of the gospel. Don't let the tatter all this kind of lunatic distract you and so on, you know. So and so hold fast, that fast, which thou hast, that no man take that crown. What that means to us, it's a warning to every Christian, indicating that the reward, you know, intended for you and I could, if we allow ourselves to falter in the race, be steadfast in the faith, brethren, be ye steadfast, always do the work of the Lord, amen. So if we're not steadfast and so on, from what the Bible gives us as a warning, that reward, could be lost forever. And God forbid, amen. Praise the Lord. That's why you put a warning right there. Don't let any man see your cry or any sister see your cry and so on. Let us not forget also the lesson, I'm finishing up right now, of the parable of the great supper that the Lord gave, right? In Luke, I believe it's in Luke, the 14th chapter, I won't go there. You know, just to remind us to really to be steadfast in the Lord. See all these glorious things that are awaiting us, you know, as soon as that, you know. So in that parable, the Lord mentioned the invitation, you know, and so on to the supper. But many, you know, they ignore the invitation. They take it lightly, right? Hey, don't take the eternity lightly, amen? Praise the Lord. We are not to take eternal things lightly for whatever reason. Praise the Lord Jesus. It should be the uppermost in our heart. The Bible says our conversation is in heaven. Not on this earth. From where we look also for the Savior, even our Lord Jesus Christ, amen? So where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Praise the Lord. Above all, so let your treasure be. I mean, your treasure is in heaven, right? So let us, our heart always be there. So, and so what I said this morning, in conclusion, there are some modernists, and hear what I'm talking about now, who will say, oh, these things are figurative, you know, don't listen to them, amen? Those are stealers of crowns, amen? They are not going anywhere, and they want to hinder those who want to go. Praise the Lord. Don't let any man hinder you. You see, the word of God is, heaven and earth shall pass away. See, my word will never pass away. The Lord said that strangers, they will not listen to, right? So my sheep, they hear my voice. They know my voice. And so that they will not fall in line. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So let this morning, let us, all these things, like I said before, what manner of men ought we to be? Let us be steadfast, you know, doing the work of the Lord. So the rapture comes first. It could happen anytime. The day and the hour we don't know. See? But we know we are in the season. Why? Because we are not children of darkness. That day should not come upon the true elect on our earth. Amen. We know the hour or the day, but we are in the season and we know that. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are told in the scripture, as the day approach, admonish one another. That's what we do here most of the time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Comfort each other. No, for the coming of the Lord right now. There are temptations over there. But Lord, oh God, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. when he strives, he shall receive the crown of life. And we know no matter what we pass through, Lord, the Lord is always with us. We are winners because the Lord is with us. We are more than conquerors because the Lord is with us. So let us now, O Lord God, be confident, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, be confident. Walk confidently with our heads lifted up. Father, we bless you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you for helping us understand these things, you know. To the world, they are in parables. But you spoke to them in the Bible, the prophet, face to face and mouth to mouth. It has been in the last days not to speak to us face to face, mouth to mouth and so on. And so we thank you. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. We commit the ministry to your hand, Father, as we go, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, as you have promised us, Lord, you will cause us to have favor in the name of the Lord. When we put all our energy and strength into serving the Lord, Lord, you will always supply all our need. That's what he told us. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So simple, yet profound truth. Never see the righteous forsaken, but they are still begging bread. David said, I've been young now, I'm old, he said it. The Bible says, it's truth, endurance to all generations. If it was true in the day of David, it's true today, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we go forth going confidently. Bible says, whatsoever he does shall prosper, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, I wish above all things is first in the heart of God, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is our portion in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. I commit every request of our heart, represented by every one of us here this morning, Lord, to your hand this morning. He that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. For he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what is in our heart this morning. The Bible says you not withhold anything good from us in the name of the Lord. Meet all this represented. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Meet all this needs represented by this hand, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Lord, this morning, anything in our life, oh Lord God, try to drag back that joy down and rebuke her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Get out of the way of the elect, in the name of the Lord Jesus, sir. That our joy may be full. That is the will of God our Father. We have it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.